You're listening to Episode 10 of the Benton County Public Podcast. Benton County is a great place to live and work. If you'd like more information on available careers with Benton County, you can visit hr.bentoncountyor.gov. Welcome to Episode 10 of the Benton County Public Podcast. My name is Dan Krall. I'm the host and producer of this program. Benton County remains on the forefront of providing services to those with mental health issues, and that includes residents of all ages. The county recently expanded the size of their facility and the services it provides at Benton County Children and Family Mental Health. An open house was held May 31st at the program's new location, which is 4185 Southwest Research Way in Corvallis. The day featured tours, meeting the staff, a resource fair, family activities, and prizes. And the ceremony was opened with Benton County Commissioner Zan Ogiero.
Good morning, everyone. And welcome to this really wonderful occasion of the open house, first open house, many I hope, for the Children and Families Mental Health Services Program here from Benton County. And I want to start off this morning with a land acknowledgement. Indigenous tribes and bands have inhabited the lands of what we now know as Benton County from time immemorial and are a vibrant part of our communities in Oregon today. Benton County is homeland for the Lucky Mute, Umpinapu, or Mary's River Band, and the Chemehua or Muddy Creek Band of the Kalapuya, and the Alsi Tribe. Today, the Alsi people are mostly members of the Confederated Tribes of Siletz Indians, and the Kalapuya peoples are enrolled as members of both the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde Community of Oregon and the Confederated Tribe of Siletz Indians. It's really important that we recognize and honor that the epidemics, violence, forced relocations, and other ravages of federal Indian policy have never extinguished the deep relationship of these peoples and, to the land, the stewardship for all of the animals and plants, and the spirit of the place that we call Benton County. And that we acknowledge that our county's namesake, Senator Thomas Hart Benton, was one of the major proponents of westward expansion and the violent displacement of indigenous peoples to this land. Just have to sit with that and that contradiction here in our place that we call home. Despite the colonization of these lands, this was and always will remain the home of the Kalapuya and the Alsi people. And we recognize that the pre-existing and continued sovereignty of the tribes who have ties to this place, and thank them for the continuing to share their knowledge and perspectives on how we care for, impact, and protect the land that we live on and steward. We commit to honoring the history of the place as we seek to engage in collaborative partnerships with the tribes and communities indigenous here to Benton County. So let's take a moment, take a deep breath, and just acknowledge this land and this place that we call Benton County. I'm really grateful to be here with you today as we formally welcome the community into this new space for children and families and strengthen mental health of our community, starting from little all the way to families. And I want to acknowledge that it's the end of Mental Health Awareness Month across the country. In my mind, however, every day should be Mental Health Awareness Day, so yes. But calling it out for a special month is also a good thing. Our programs here offer outpatient, wraparound, and school-based services for youth under 18 with mental health diagnoses, and we do serve youth up to 21 if they are already in our services, because we don't want to drop anyone between age brackets and services available. It's a vital component, our programs are, of the network of partners that are dedicated to youth mental health and supporting families across the county. I want to acknowledge the vision of former Behavioral Health Director Danielle Brown and our partners at IHN-CCO for returning this program to the county so that we can work with all of our partners here to support families and children. We had a vision of creating a centrally located trauma-informed space for children, youth, and families. And after a 2+ year stint on 9th Street, We learned that we needed more counseling rooms to provide increased access to services, space tailored for young children and families and teens, and more trauma-informed space and better parking. So, on top of all of that, you know, we did have a failed attempt to meet these needs through the ballot box, but staff and commissioners alike were really committed to finding a new home for the Children and Families Program and to better meet the needs and demand for services across the community. And Commissioner Malone and I had several good conversations with Speaker Rayfield and his staff about our needs. And through the convergence of several wonderful factors, the governor's priorities of an emphasis on behavioral health, and excellent staff planning and readiness for this kind of opportunity, and legislative leadership, and the sudden availability of this building, we were able to make this facility happen and open the doors within, 6 months from conception to this event. That is fantastic and unusual for the government, and so we're all thrilled about that. So kudos to everyone that had a part of it, and especially to our facilities and IT teams who dropped everything and just made this space inhabitable for you all that are working here now, and for all of the community members that avail themselves of services. We want to extend sincere thanks to Speaker Rayfield and to his staff for their belief in our programs for children and families, and for their support of this new facility. This would not have been possible without the support of the state, and Speaker Rayfield was the person that really made that happen. This new home meets all of our children's and families' services needs now, although there are already visions about the future. This building offers room for expansion, and that's fantastic as well. We do have a couple of subtenants here in the building, and you know, eventually that may not be, but right now we are really happy with the arrangement and the partnerships we have. So there are some other things that are wonderful about this particular space. It's on a bus route, but our counseling program is now just a couple doors away from one of our major partners, the Oregon Department of Health and Human Services. Also a stone's throw away from Old Mill Center, another partner for our programs. And close to Benton County Developmental Diversity Program.
Yay.
Yes, a couple doors down. And the Juvenile Department. So it's fantastic that all of you are here with all of your county counterparts, and hopefully that will lead to some really rich collaboration and warm handoffs as well. So I would like to extend another huge thanks to Damian Sands and to Christy Rare and your team for all the programs and services. To serve our families and youth across the county, the creative spaces that are emerging, you know, in terms of room for play therapy and eventual other kinds of flexible space for programming for youth. And I want to thank you for attending today and encourage you to tour around the space and to ask lots of questions, and then to talk about our resources to your colleagues throughout the community so that we are not a well-kept secret, but that the people will avail themselves of the services we have. And eventually, we may even not have a waiting list. No, I didn't say that right.
The next speaker at the event was Chelsea Holcomb.
So hi everyone, I'm Chelsea Holcomb, I use she, her pronouns. I'm the Director of Child and Family Behavioral Health at the Oregon Health Authority. And so I am privileged to support all of our county partners and our CCO partners of elevating and amplifying the youth and family voice and the need for these services. So all the programs that you just mentioned around wraparound and outpatient services, play therapy, Young's, all the way, all of those are programs that we are fiercely supporting at the state level. We know that children's behavioral health is prevention. So we know that most of anything to do with mental health or substance use, all of that often happens and develops before the age of 18. So we know if we do really well of, you know, early detection, early intervention, and getting services and supports to children and families when they need it, we know that we are going to support the adult system by having less youth needing to enter into those support services as they become young adults. I think the other piece that's really exciting about this is that oftentimes youth and family services, for whatever reason, from a policy and program and resource perspective, it's not elevated, right? It's not priority. We have a lot of adults that need a lot of services and supports right now, and we're often in a crisis. But again, with that, the visionary of really pulling youth and family services up, we know that, again, we're going to make a positive impact on all the parents and aunties and grandparents and caregivers that surround those children. So it's that two-generational approach. So we're prevention for the adult system, but as we intervene with children and get them what they need when they need it, we're also making a positive impact on all the adults in their midst. I think the other thing, David actually used to be part of the unit that I oversee back in the day prior to when I was there, and really paved the way for our focus on young adults. So I think one of the visions for a children's system in Oregon is that we actually look from really, you know, babies all the way to 25. So we don't stop at 18. We don't stop even at 21, where a lot of our child serving systems do. We're really looking at that full brain development. So really having spaces like this and sort of dabble into, I think you said it beautifully, like, we want people to feel supported in this building and not be like, oh, did you turn 18 on Tuesday? Like, we want to start really making our Medicaid system that way and our local services that way, so that youth are going to spaces where they are welcomed and where they feel like they can get their needs met. And sometimes that isn't about treatment. So we want to make sure that as we think about services and supports, that it is much broader. Again, we know that if you're hungry, if you have housing insecurity, if you're struggling in school, it's really hard to separate those things. We all know this, right? This is the same for us, too. It's not different for youth. And so really making sure that as we are building services and connecting with our system of care partners, that we're thinking about that broad human and what the needs are. Because sometimes having food in your belly and having success at school and having housing security, wow, some of those mental health sicknesses are just going away, right? So anyway, thank you for having me. It's an amazing team. Christy is doing amazing things and supporting a lot of programming, a lot of support, and these services are needed and expanding quickly in our community, which is really wonderful. So my hope is we come back as a party in a couple years and it's like this full building, all the things. So we're here to support Benton County, we're here to support our CCO partners, and yeah, just really thrilled to be here. And I live here too, so I have a special warm heart for Benton County and Corvallis. So anyway, thank you.
Well, tough act to follow. I was like, I've got my notes just off the top of my head, kind of amazing. Wow. So actually, I want to give a huge thanks to the two of you. You know, I'm going to go a little bit further than that. You know, Commissioner Ojor, you have been such a huge advocate for us, for our system. I've had the privilege of working under a few commissioners and in various spaces. I have to say that I've never seen such a person who is so tenacious, so knowledgeable about our system, and also so genuinely down to earth that you get to hear all of our pros and our cons and our happies and our lows. So thank you so much.
Pleasure.
I'm going to make you feel a little uncomfortable too. So Chelsea has been with the state now.
Almost 7 years.
Chelsea, I want to thank you for all of the work you have done, but you've also done it from a place of genuine advocacy. You've always kept it, as the cool kids say, keeping it real. You have been a person who has looked for the right needs at the right time. You've pushed for people to get uncomfortable, to support this system. You've always been a person who also has a great understanding of the complexity of it. So I just want to thank you so much. Please don't leave. Always say that. So thank you again. So I'm gonna call something out. So at 21%, the state has the highest percentage of youth who said they have experienced at least one depressive episode, according to the nonprofit's 2023 study. That survey was about our county. So we know within this community that there are those that are in a place of hurt and suffering. This program, what it's going to bring to that space, what it offers up to this population, is going to be huge. As we mentioned, this is the last day of the Mental Health Awareness Month. the title, the theme for this month was Where to Start: Mental Health in a Changing World. And what I love about this place is this is a place that is starting. We're right at that beginning point for us. This is the way that we make inroads into those challenges. So I'm going to give one more huge thank you to everyone involved. I mean, you know, as a former state employee, as a former fellow county employee, government doesn't move very fast, for those of you not in government. The fact that we pulled this off in that amount of time, I'm still kind of can't believe we are here from a conversation that was had, yeah, literally, like, it's kind of mind-blowing and kind of beautiful. So that's huge. Okay, enough about all of that. The last piece I'm going to really call out, and this is where we're going to get people uncomfortable again. I'm really going to call out our local champion. So I've had the privilege of working with Christy and her amazing team. And Christy, I've seen you both grow as a leader, but I've seen you really as a person always focused on the care of our children. That is so critical in this time in which you always hold that within yourself no matter what it is. This is why people coalesce around you. This is why your team loves you. It's because your intent and mission is always laser focused on us being great stewards of care for our children and family. So the floor is all yours to wrap us up.
I was not prepared to give a speech, so I don't have a lot to say other than just thank you for being here and thank you for supporting our program and for partnering with us. It's like so cool to see all the partners that we have in this room and just that we're in this work together to serve our community and make sure these kids and families get a lot of really awesome services. So thank you for being here. I also need to shout out my team too, because my team is full of really amazing and dedicated, creative individuals that do this really hard work in beautiful ways each day and make a really big difference. And this building allows them to have more opportunities to just flourish in the things they do and support these kids. So shout out to them.
Amazing admin is
supporting.
Yes, Mandy. Yeah,
Mandy. But again, thank you for being here. And if you want a tour, our team's wearing these fancy shirts. So find someone and they'll give you a tour. And there's food and drawings. So thanks for being here. Thank you.
The new Benton County Children and Family Mental Health Facility is located on Southwest Research Way, next to the Benton County Sunset and Kalapuya buildings, across the street from the local Oregon Department of Human Services office. For more information about Benton County Children and Family Mental Health, you can visit health.bentoncountyor.gov. Thanks for joining us for today's edition of the Benton County Public Podcast.
Benton County is searching for new members to join its team. There are currently a number of career opportunities available. Whether you are just starting out, established in your career, or looking for a post-career opportunity, Benton County could be your next step. You can learn about the latest employment opportunities, current benefits, and a variety of services to help you discover a career in local government.
For more information, visit hr.bentoncountyor.gov. I am joined now by Barbara Christensen. She is the Public Health Nurse Program Manager who supervises WIC, Reproductive Health, Immunizations, and perinatal maternal child family health programs. That's quite a mouthful. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Dan. Yes, my name is Barbara. I do go by Barbie, and my pronouns are she, they. And I actually just started in this role in February, and it has been a true pleasure and privilege to begin working with Benton County and with all the amazing staff that have been working in these programs and in public health. Very excited.
So when you got started, did you have all these responsibilities right away?
I've been lucky enough to have a lot of support from my supervisors to really kind of scaffold it in. But yes, I started supervising and managing the programs and the staff in these programs from that first week, and it's been just a lovely whirlwind, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, we're talking today because as we record this, it's the end of May. May, of course, is Maternal Mental Health Month, and one of the core areas of the Benton County Home Visiting Nurses focuses on is mental health mm-hmm. during and after pregnancy. I think we should note that the leading cause of death for moms and people who have babies is suicide and domestic violence.
Shocking, isn't it? I actually used to work in labor and delivery. We spend so much time, money, resources really focusing on those medical complications and those medical risks, hemorrhage, preeclampsia, medical conditions. And I think it's really shocking when people learn or realize that mental health, for the person experiencing it, or, you know, in the case of domestic violence, the mental health sometimes of the person perpetrating the abuse is really the leading cause and the leading risk factor in our maternal morbidity and mortality crisis. It's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about this work, and I really truly believe it's one of the reasons our nurses and all of our team is so passionate about mental health and really embedding that in a trauma-informed approach into all of the services we provide. And truly, you know, it has generational impacts. Anxiety just by itself can really impact relationships with ourselves. You know, in this case, I'm going to be speaking a little bit about our home visiting program for new parents. It can really impact relationships with babies and impact their growth and development. And we deserve help is the bottom line. We deserve help. Help is out there, and it really isn't ever too late to get help. We'll be talking about some resources specifically if you know somebody who's struggling with their mental health. But I'm really hoping to talk a little bit more about the home visiting service specifically today that's available to every single resident in Benton County who has a baby.
Why don't we talk about that? We have three nurses.
We do have three nurses who are just wonderful. They are so experienced, very highly trained. I want to say between the three of them, they have over 26 years of nursing experience. 19 of those years are specifically in home visiting, which, you know, home visiting is really unique. We're meeting people where they're at, where they live. Sometimes people who are experiencing homelessness, we're meeting them in other places. We're available to meet out in the community, out in the clinics, but really just meeting people where they're at with their babies. And I say that in the physical sense and also in the mental sense. Like, we serve people who are highly resourced, are really connected, have insurance, have all of the resources, you know, that somebody kind of thinks of when they think of what you might need to have a baby and support yourself and your baby, all the way to people who are under-resourced, who lack or don't have those privileges. We're very lucky also to have Carol, one of our nurses, who speaks Spanish fluently and really serves that population in Benton County in their home language as well. So it is just such a unique service. One of our programs, Family Connects Oregon, through some legislation by the state, is also available at no cost to every single family who brings home a baby. Whether you had the baby yourself, whether you are, you know, the other parent or a caregiver, a foster parent, if you are taking care of a newborn in Benton County, we would love to serve you.
And that includes people with private insurance or OHP. It doesn't matter.
Or no insurance. If people aren't connected yet with insurance or don't think they're eligible, we also help with that. And yes, that is not a barrier at all, specific to Family Connects Oregon. We do have other home visiting programs for people who are pregnant, babies first, children with like highly complex medical needs, Cocoon, and those do have some eligibility restrictions. For OHP members, we have babies first at no cost, Cocoon as well. But Family Connects is sort of that portal for opening the door to home visiting that you may not get anywhere else. It's a benefit of your insurance, if you have insurance, like I said. And if you don't, we still provide the service at no cost.
FCO, or Family Connects Oregon, is online. So if people listening do want to just get that ball rolling, what is the website?
Thank you. Yeah, if you do a quick Google search of Family Connects, you'll find a lot of information all throughout the state. But if you would like to get referred to our program specifically, I'd love for you to visit Benton County Health Department's website. We're on there. We have a page, Perinatal, Maternal, Child, Family Health Services, and you can contact one of our program specialists to get referred. We are doing some updates, which I'm really excited about, to improve our referral process. But if you get on the website and you find that number, you will find us.
We are joined by Barbara Christensen, who is the Public Health Nurse Program Manager. She also supervises WIC, Reproductive Health, Immunizations, and the Perinatal Maternal Child Family Health Programs. And right now we're talking about home visits, which we do have three nurses in Benton County available to visit during those postpartum days. What might a typical visit from a home visit nurse look like?
That's a great question, Dan, and I would love to kind of demystify that experience for anybody who thinks they might be interested now or in the future or knows of somebody. The first thing I think is really important, besides no cost, this is a voluntary program. So if your provider or, you know, your OB refers and you don't want this service, it is completely up to you. So it's voluntary at all times. If you decide you want it, we will set up a home visit at a time and a location, you know, that's convenient for you, and we'll come to you. One of our nurses will touch base with you over the phone. We also text if texting is easier for you. We're sort of in that era, I think, now where texting is easier for a lot of us, especially with a newborn. And then, you know, the nurse will kind of do a little screening on the phone and see if there's any immediate needs that you have, any immediate questions they can answer, or referrals. And then once the visit actually happens, they can be a little bit long. So I think some people are used to, you know, really quick visits with your doctor, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, right? Unless there's, you know, something maybe more that's needed. But these visits are typically about an hour and a half. They can go even longer if people are, you know, needing more time. So we really are flexible in that. We really try to schedule when baby's about 3 weeks old. That's kind of like in between the two-week pediatrician appointment and, right, this, the typical six-week postpartum checkup. So really a time of opportunity, I think, for parents, for caregivers of newborns. I'm a parent of four myself. The 3 week, you know, to 6 week period, even when everything's going well, it can be rough. So number one, we're there to support. We're there to really provide the services that you need. But what that can look like for many people is a screening, an assessment, kind of a little head to toe, like what's going on with your medical needs, what's going on with baby's medical needs. We do, you know, like a height and weight check, measure the head, make sure baby's growing well, check on any feeding concerns, whether you're breast or chest feeding or formula feeding or some combination of both. Do you have access to food? You know, these are sometimes we are doing really basic things like helping people get connected to food sources, housing, advocacy. Sometimes, you know, we're even helping people make safety plans or get connected, you know, to resources to help create more safety in their life for themselves, their baby, or their children.
Like if they've got domestic violence issues happening?
Absolutely. And then, I mean, and I'm even thinking like environmental safety, you know, say there's a situation, you know, we're renting and there's mold. Like, we are able to connect with housing and get you connected with those referrals and resources to create a safe environment as much as possible in your home.
That black mold is typical around here.
I hear. I Sorry and thank you. Hail from sunny Southern California, and I'm very much learning. This is a totally different environment with totally different needs. And I think that is also what's unique to home visiting is we're really there to listen to you. So we're not coming in with a plan. We're going to come and fix everything and make it all better. We're here to listen to you. What are your needs? What can we help you with? So that screening, that assessment, growth, you know, for baby, of course, those are all kind of basic. But sometimes, you know, we're answering questions like, how do you help grandma learn how to bottle feed in a way that protects your, you know, your milk supply and things like that? So these visits are really adaptable, and that's what I really appreciate about them. We have a lot of tools, we have a lot of resources, but they're really going to be adapted to suit your needs. And beyond that, you know, if you need more visiting outside of that visit, we have the ability to schedule more visits. You can receive up to 4 visits at no cost through Family Connects. And at that point, if there is an ongoing need, we look at eligibility to other programs, whether that's through Benton County, you know, if you have OHP and you would like to enroll in Babies First, or maybe that's, you know, with Healthy Families, another organization. So we really do partner with a lot of the existing resources to get you connected to, again, what do you need? What works for you? Because you're the one taking care of this baby. Like, you're already doing it. We're just here to help.
And during these times when parents have a new baby, it is very common to have some kind of struggles, whether that's mental, whether that's with the relationship. In fact, one of the most common times that you see families split up is shortly after having the baby. I've seen that with a lot of my peers.
Mm. It is. It is so, like I said, you know, even when everything is going well and we're ready, it's hard to really be ready. A baby is a whole human with a whole host of needs. And you know, if we already as full-grown adults, you know, or, you know, if you are a younger parent, a teen parent, we also serve that population and have resources for you. We have our own needs too, and sometimes we are not meeting our own needs to meet baby's needs, right? And forget about a partner or your friends, right, or those extended relationships. So again, a nurse is not coming in to fix and save everything, right? But they are absolutely there to give some fresh eyes, sometimes some reassurance. You're doing the best you can, right? We're doing the best we can with what we have. And also, you know, looking and seeing maybe some things that we can't see when we are in it, right? And offering a little fresh perspective, or, hey, did you even know about this resource? Or what do you think? And we also do engage other parents. You know, if there's a dad, if there's another parent, we meet the whole family. So it's not just moms taking care of babies, we know that. We really come in, and whoever is going to be taking care of that newborn, we want to help and help support them, because that is what the newborn needs, is more supported caregivers, right? Those layers of support are so crucial.
One thing we are seeing is that in these trying times, we are in a mental health crisis with a lot of people who are untreated and a lot of people without solutions. What is one thing that you'd like people to know who may be struggling with their mental health?
I don't really think this is always a comfort, but you're not alone. You really aren't. You're not alone in this. With all of my privileges and resources, I myself have struggled with mental health, not just during my pregnancies and after. So we aren't alone. And there is help, and people want to help. So one thing I really want people to know about some of the resources that have expanded, if you are at a point where you have lost hope, you have lost curiosity, you are, you know, considering not being here with us anymore, there's a national number we can now call. It's 988. You can call or text this number. It's the suicide helpline. And if you are a mom or a person who's just had a baby, we also have some specific resources I'd like to talk about from Postpartum Support International. These are available at no cost. They do have a call or text line as well. You can text HELP, H-E-L-P, to 1-800-944-4773. You would press 2 for English. If you need assistance in Spanish, you would press 1. You can also go online to their website, which is postpartum.net, postpartum.net, N-E-T. And these are available not just in English. They have them in Spanish, and I believe they're expanding into other languages as well. But these are no-cost online support groups that you can sign up for. I love referring people to these groups, one, because they're free. Two, they're virtual. You can attend them from your phone, from your car, wherever you are at. And also, they just have a really great variety. I'm just going to name a few, but there's some general ones for perinatal mental health. There's ones for military, military spouses, people who have experienced loss. I think sometimes people forget that, you know, there's a postpartum period and sometimes there's no baby. And so we have support and groups for that as well through that organization, which I'm so grateful for. They even have groups for people who are trying to conceive. You know, there's just such a range of experiences that people have and need support that's really tailored towards that experience. And I really would just encourage you to maybe not take the step, but to start to consider. You know, maybe you're not ready to reach out. Maybe you're not ready to ask for help. But I would just really consider, you know, what would that look like for you? What would help look like for you and who? Maybe it's a conversation with somebody to start with, right? Maybe it's a trusted friend, or maybe it's one of our home visiting nurses. We would love to hear from you. We would love to get connected with you. And if you're a provider or an organization out there in the community that serves people who are having babies, we would also love to hear from you. We're always looking to expand our outreach and our collaboration with other partners and build up referral pathways to really get connected to the people who need us the most.
I think sometimes little factors get overlooked, too. I mean, especially after a pregnancy, you may not remember to eat a square meal or stay hydrated or have the proper vitamins.
Yes. Meal planning, things like that, right? What does it look like to get enough, if you have access to food, to get enough calories to lactate, right? To make milk if you're breastfeeding or chest feeding. And I love that you just bring up, again, there's a whole range of needs, right? And so having somebody come in who is aware of all those needs and can really like take the time to go through them with you and see what is the biggest need for you, and then address that, and then move on to the next one. And we just keep going, right? And maybe
just get back into balance.
That's it. As much as we can, you know, like you mentioned, we are in a time where there are limited resources, and we do need more than what exists. However, we are so fortunate to have the resources we have, and really getting people connected to them and learning about them, I think, is a start to growing those resources and really investing more in them so that there are more resources available to us. This is generational work. I really appreciate the boots on the ground work that our field nurses are doing, you know, out there in the community, home visiting, doing outreach events, and just their commitment. I am so grateful, and it's such a privilege to supervise and watch the work and watch the impacts ripple out, not just into these families, but into the community, and know that this is rippling out into our future as well.
Well, it does sound like very fulfilling work and very valuable work. So if people want to enroll in the home visiting program through the Benton County Public Health Department, how can they do that?
We, like I said, are still updating some of our referral pathways, but if you go to our website at www.health.bentoncountyor.gov, you'll find us under infant services for infants, children, and families. And we do have a web page within that for perinatal, maternal, child, and family health. But I really also just want to offer, you can call or text our referral specialist at 541-760-1834. You can call or text this number whether you speak English or Spanish. We are ready to answer or get back to you as soon as we can. And then we also do have an email. We just ask that you don't send any private health information through that email unless you have the ability to encrypt it. But you are welcome to ask questions or ask for referral forms and things like that through this email. And that'll be pmcfh@bentoncountyor.gov. And we will be ready to respond to pretty much whatever request you send to us, whether that's for more information, like I said, whether you're a provider or an organization wanting to build a referral pathway for new parents, or whether you're a new parent yourself or you're about to be, or you know somebody who is and you would like some more information about the programs we offer.
We would like to thank Barbara Christensen, who joins us today. She is the Public Health Nurse Program Manager. She also supervises WIC, immunizations, reproductive health, and perinatal, maternal, child, family health programs for the Benton County Public Health Department. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Dan, and thank you to each of you out there showing up as best you can with everything you have. We really appreciate all of our community members.
Thanks for joining us for episode 10 of the Benton County Public Podcast. My name is Dan Krall. I am the producer and host of this program. Our executive producer is Corey Grogan. If you have any feedback on this podcast, or if you have any ideas, like to be in touch, send an email to pioinfo@bentoncountyor.gov.